Today, I have the pleasure of talking with Christy Sullivan, a human design and self-care expert. She's also an author, a speaker, and she's a woman on a mission to help busy women stop overworking and start overflowing. She hosts a virtual community for female personal development junkies to create better wellness, improve relationships, shift mindsets, and manifest more success, wealth, and freedom to really live their best life by design. I am so excited to have this conversation with Christy and learn more about what is human design, how can that play into our self-care, and how can that impact our relationship with food and ourselves. So tune in. I'm very excited for this episode. Welcome to the Love Your Food, Love Yourself, Love Your Life podcast. I am Tammy, your fun-loving and often quirky host. I have been a dietitian for close to 20 years where I've helped countless women transform not only their relationship with food, but more importantly, themselves. I believe to my core that as you start peeling back the layers to loving your food and yourself, you end up loving your life like never before. And now is the time, my friend. It is time to break up with diet culture, shift your current stories, rev up your internal wisdom, and recognize that every body, regardless of size, not only deserves dignity and respect, but can be healthy because your habits and how you love on yourself is truly what matters. In this podcast, we have real conversations about struggles, insecurities, and false beliefs with loving ourselves and each other through the lens of curiosity, anti-judgment, intuitive eating, spirituality, journaling, and a heaping dose of laughter, maybe some tears, but always a whole lot of realness. Hi, Christy. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me, Tammy, today.
I am so excited to have this conversation with you. And so you are a human design expert and self-care expert, and self-care is definitely part of my talk. And I have been a very kind of novice learner, I would say, around human design. And so I'd really love to just start there and talk about what is human design, especially if anybody here listening doesn't even know what it is. And I feel like I even need a better refresher and a good understanding. So I'm really excited to talk to you as an expert about it. So tell us, what is human design?
That is a great place to start. So I describe human design as your energy blueprint based on your birth date. And if you imagine that you're driving down the journey of life, and you might even think that your soul has a journey, or you've got this destiny or destination, human design is the car that you're driving on that path. It's how you're wired, your operating system. So sort of who you are as you go through life, and it's based on your birthday, so it doesn't actually change. It goes much deeper than something like a personality assessment, which is a set of questions you usually answer. In this case, it's really just more based on the alignment of the planet. So it includes a little bit of astrology, as well as Kabbalah, I Ching, and the chakra system, as well as quantum physics.
Oh, wow. I had no idea about that last little part. So tell me, how did you get into this? Like, what is your story? I mean, how did you, how are you here talking to us about all of this? And then we'll kind of dive a little bit more into some specifics around human design. But I'm so intrigued by people's stories.
Yeah, thank you. I discovered it about 6 or 7 years ago. And usually I say it discovers you when you're ready. I had a friend who was offering a coaching program where we learned human design as part of it. And at the time, it was just amazing. It helped me to realize that some of the things I was doing, especially in trying to build my own business, was in an energy that wasn't really in alignment with my operating system. So we can get into that a little bit more in a bit, but that led me to just take in and learn information about it. I started to run charts for my family and friends. And then in 2020, a few years ago, I actually had an opportunity to step out of a longtime marketing career that I had. And I didn't know what I wanted to do, but I knew that I wanted to follow my human design blueprint, so to speak, and energy to figure out what to do. And that led me to teaching about human design and sharing it and being a speaker and later an author. But I now have been, like I said, about 6 or 7 years with human design, still learning things about myself because I think it's a never-ending process. But I really love to talk about it and share it with people in a basic way so they can understand, just as they dip their toes into this rabbit hole, we call it, to understand what human design is and how it can help them.
Yeah. Well, I love that you were talking about sharing it in like some really tangible ways. So I would love to kind of dig in there. Can you break it down for us in kind of some basic ways in terms of what is a human design blueprint?
Sure. You can find a lot also of information online. I'm sure many of your listeners may Google it. Mm-hmm. But when you actually do go on the internet, you can go to several places, several websites where you enter in your information, your name and your birth info, including your time and location. So it's important if you do know your time or can find it out. And then it spits out, so to speak, this chart. In astrology, we think of the astrology chart. In human design, it looks more like the shape of a body and energy centers or shapes. And this is what the chakra system is based on. So it's these different places within the body that represent different aspects of your energy. So when you look at that chart, it is unique to you. There are over 3 billion combinations. So people may have different colors or different places that are colored in the chart. Some may see numbers and these numbers represent things. So there's a lot of layers to human design, but where we usually start when we look at this chart is the energy type, because that's the first layer. So again, it's a visual blueprint, but it helps when you can talk to somebody who practices human design and can interpret that chart for you, as well as, you know, there's things, a lot of things online that you can also start to look up or listen to podcasts too, for example.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So what I'm hearing here is that it's an extremely individualized map or roadmap or blueprint. And it really starts with somebody knowing their birth date, their birth time, and their location. And just from those three items there and their name, right? And their name, that really kind of gives insight into this blueprint, as you call it, or the genetic makeup of the person. And there's kind of some layers to it. So the first layer you said was the energy layer. Is that right?
The energy type, correct.
Energy type. Okay. So let's bring some tangible examples. And I know that as we were prepping for this episode, you had asked me my information so that you could look for my human design. And thank you to both of my parents who I had to reach out to and ask what my birth time was. Once again, I've asked them multiple times, I have to tell you. But this time I'm going to remember my birth time because it actually has a double number, I believe, in it.
It does, yes.
Yeah, and I love double numbers. So I was like, how have I not remembered this before? So I forever now will remember my birth time, thanks to you, Christy. So
yeah, oh, great. That's great, great, great. So yes, we usually talk about first the energy type. This is one of five types that describes, again, that first layer. And it's like being in a category, like your astrology sign, if you are like a Libra or you're a Virgo, I think, right?
Leo.
Okay, good, good. So that is sort of a box that we put ourselves in and we describe sort of aspects about that particular category. But again, I always say the blueprint is unique to you. So as you start peeling back those layers, you start to find out more and more about you specifically.
Okay.
But the energy type is the first layer. And there are five types. And you and I are both in the majority category called the generators. Mm-hmm. There are two kinds, generators and manifesting generators. But what sets us apart is that we make up about 70% of the population.
Okay.
And we kind of are built to be generating, building, doing, following through on things all day if we feel healthy and rested. It's like we're the Energizer bunnies. And the other three types, the 30% of the population, they are not built with, so to speak, that Energizer bunny energy. They have workforce, life force energy, but I call it in the car, they have a smaller battery. Mm-hmm. We have the larger battery. So the smaller battery types, these are called the manifestors, projectors, and reflectors. They need to be sure that they are plugging themselves, so to speak, in every day, recharging themselves throughout the day. That means they need a little bit more downtime, perhaps, maybe even naps. It depends on different, again, ways they want to experience that downtime. But it gives them permission to not keep up with the generators and for generators to realize that not everyone is built the same way. So that's usually the starting point.
I love that. So I was curious how self-care was looped into human design. And I think I'm beginning to see how it's looped in. Is it's kind of almost a permission to look at your individual energy type and then say, this is what really fills my self-care bucket. But I'd love to hear more from you. Like, how do you integrate self-care into human design? And why is that important for somebody to consider?
That's a great question. And I want to say, if people don't know what their human design is, or if they don't go investigating what it is, to really live in an optimal way, I think we all need to find a way to feel aligned and energized, mm-hmm. or feeling like our energy is not depleted, and it feels really like we just are living life with more ease and flow, even if challenges come up. And I think, and from what I've studied, that self-care is the best way or easiest way to actually align your energy. It's putting the attention to how am I feeling and what do I need to do. Today it might look different than even tomorrow. So what do I need in this moment to feel not necessarily good, but you know, how to feel in a way that my energy feels aligned. I feel present. I'm doing things that serve me. This may also look like things like inner work or dealing with healing traumas or shifting your mindset. So that kind of self-care, the more that we do that, brings us to be more and more authentic of who we are. And that is energy alignment.
I love that. And that's definitely something that I know I talk about my clients with, but I've never really considered this element of understanding our human design in order to really find that alignment and that attunement in those present moments, right? And saying, okay, what is it that I need right now? Really quick, we are going to take a break from this episode because I want to check in with you. And thank you so much for taking precious time out of your day to listen in here. I know you're listening because there's some part of you looking for answers as it relates to food, your body, your health, or even your mental well-being. And I'm curious, are you finding the answers you came for? If you're like most of the women I work with, you have been searching for some time and you've been down the road of wishing and hoping for far too long, so you want concrete answers. So here are your choices. You can stay being an avid listener, finding your answers in a DIY style, or if you're done with DIYs and guidance with no outcomes, please click the link in the description to visit my services page. Here you will discover a variety of options, from a free Facebook community to a highly immersive group program. Whatever you need, I've got you. From my own self and from the clients that I've helped, is that we can so easily get caught up into what I call comparisonitis, right? we can almost have this feeling or this pull of, I need self-care, but then we almost feel guilty for taking self-care because so-and-so next to us or so-and-so that we're looking at their adventure on the screen or whatever, however we're comparing ourselves, we're comparing ourselves to somebody else and, oh, they don't need that level of self-care. And that person's doing all these things. Why am I taking this time for self-care? I don't need it. So I feel like this is a trap, you know, that we fall into as humans, right? Is this comparisonitis and thinking, why am I taking my self-care? That's not right. That's not how other people do it. So it's almost sounding like this human design element of really understanding yourself on a really core level is giving permission to say, you're designed uniquely. And so you get to determine your own self-care for yourself, not based on other people. Is that right?
Yes. And also when we look at human design, we recognize that in this system we call human design, that we all are uniquely built and may need have different needs of self-care and such. But it also points to the fact that sometimes when we're doing this inner work, which self-care is, mm-hmm. that outside things start to line up for us more easily and effortlessly. And the book that I collaborated on to produce was called Stop Overworking and Start Overflowing. It's this idea that when we do some of the inner work and stop actually overworking, meaning doing all this work, burning ourselves out, feeling overwhelmed, if we do more of the taking care of ourselves, then we'll start to flow more in life. And we actually become more of this human design that we are. And things just seem to like line up for us much more easily. And that's due to the self-care that you're doing, that inner work. Mm-hmm. And it is different for every person. So what do you need again for the self-care today? What do you maybe need to heal, or what we call in human design, what is the conditioning that you need to address? Because sometimes there's ways that we've been taught to be that mm-hmm. formula that is not in alignment with our human design. And so things like the deconditioning have to happen so that you can, again, be more of what feels natural to you and not compare and also not feel guilty or any of those negative emotions for doing the self-care and being more of who you are.
I love that so much. And what kind of came through to me a little bit is that you said that generators are, you said 70% for the most part of
yes.
the population. And so I can very clearly see how generators can be the go, 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 do, 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 right? But then we can get kind of burnt out. And so there's almost this element of honoring the self-care and doing some of that inner work that generation still happens, but it's more on kind of a passive level. It's not through kind of an active push level. Does that make sense what I'm saying?
Yes, this actually ties directly to what we call the next layer, the strategy of the energy types. And let me break this down. So manifestors are a type 9% of the population. And their role and their energy is to initiate, to create, to innovate. And we're all taught that we should be initiating things and making things happen. Just go out and do it.
Mm-hmm.
You use the word passive, which I just want to clarify. Yes, sometimes our other energy types, like the generator types, are not here to initiate, but rather to respond, which is still a beautiful way of engaging with energy. But it's knowing that things are coming to us, and when it shows up at the right time, that we respond to it. So the manifestors are here to initiate. The generator types are here to follow through and respond. And then I mentioned the projectors, another type, 20% of the population, and they're here to wait for the right invitation. They are here to share their wisdom and guidance, but they need to do it in a way where it's most impactful. And that is when they're recognized and asked and invited to share some really amazing wisdom that right now can be really helpful as we evolve in this world. So as you can see, the different energies have different ways of sort of engaging. The last type is called the reflector. They're rare, only 1% of the population, and they're really here to be a barometer and help reflect back what sort of the rest of the society and the ecosystem is like, which is really important for the health of knowing that we're doing things in a healthy way.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for walking us through each individual one and continuing to explain this. As I had said, I'm learning still. And so I'm curious, what else is on your heart to share right now in terms of teaching? Like, what are some of the biggest maybe misconceptions around human design or questions that you get frequently that you'd like to just say, here's the question I always get, you know, and here's the answer to the question, if there is one?
Well, I think what comes up is that human design, it is a tool. It is not necessarily the end game, but if we use it as a tool to explore more of who we are, it can certainly lead to a lot of clues, a lot of validation, a lot of ahas. And it's also what they call an experiment. Human design is information, but then you need to understand, how do I take that information? How do I apply it? And how do I continue on my journey to use this in a way to serve the path that I'm on? So We call that the experiment, because it's not just a study this for 1 week or 1 year and you'll be all set. Mm-hmm. It's really an ever-evolving process because, again, human design peels back the layers of who you are. And so it just becomes a helpful tool to, or maybe a lens to look at life through. And I think that's what's important, is to give yourself, if you're interested in human design, some time, spending some time in bits and pieces. At least that's how I did it. I learned a little bit and then maybe integrated, then maybe I learned a little bit more. I shared it with friends and family. I just did it in a way that I started to process things and embody things in a way that helped me more know of more myself, who I am at a deeper level. And I think that's really the key to this, is that it is not like a magic wand. And it's a rabbit hole, we call it. So you have to be ready to be going on this journey.
Yeah.
And it can be spiritual for some people, very spiritual. It can tie to your current spiritual practices, because that's really, we're here, you know, in this school of earth to like learn more about ourselves and to share love and to be more of who we are so that we can impact positively the world.
Yeah, thank you so much. And I'm not sure how far down the rabbit hole you want to go with my human design, but I am curious, of course. So, you know, you had said the first layer is generator, and then you said the next layer is strategy. And You'd be willing to kind of explain that, and maybe how many other layers are there involved?
There's a lot.
Okay.
And it's not like a system where you go from A to B to Z. Sometimes you go from A to Z, then bounce back to B and just go to different aspects of your design to see what calls out to you. But let's do this. So I'm going to kind of do a little mini reading, which is something that I would do if people wanted to learn more about their design or have a conversation. Mm-hmm. So I will share some things and then ask you, how does that resonate and how does this feel for you?
Okay.
So I mentioned you're a generator. What's important for generators is that they do the work that they love, that lights them up, and that they're responding, right? So as you wake up each day, you suddenly have things that happen throughout the day that you're responding to. And it could have a vision. You might say, you know, I really want my day to look like this. And slowly things start to come to you. You can make choices of what you decide. But for you, doing the right kind of work is really important. And it seems like, you know, you're doing that with this podcast and other things. And usually I love that. Generators will like kind of laugh and kind of smile really big when they're like, yep, I am doing that. So that's great.
I was going to say, I had moments where I wasn't sure if I was anymore. And I have to say that when I was in a time and space where I wasn't necessarily, quote unquote, doing something that I loved, I was having a hard time getting out of bed. It really had a huge impact on my whole system. And now that I've been into this work for quite some time now, 6, 7 years, about the same time as you, Yes, I'm lit up. I mean, every day is like, all right, what's on the agenda for today? What are we doing today? How am I connecting with people? And so definitely can resonate with that.
Yeah. And two things to notice is that sometimes, you know, we do things that we love, and then over time we just need to shift directions. Mm-hmm. So there's an emotional theme, we call it, called frustration for generators, that comes up if you are feeling like things are out of alignment and they need to shift.
Yeah.
And then you just need to be waiting patiently, doing your self-care, mm-hmm. to eventually be able to respond to a new opportunity. And also, that frustration might come up when you're trying to master something, because generators also like to master their work. We may suddenly have a lot of momentum and then get to a plateau. And that's when we think we need to do something or initiate something. And actually, we're in a plateau, and all we need to do is, again, wait for the next opportunity to come up to respond to. So that's, again, another good time for self-care, for you know, organizing or assessing things, or even just playing or having time with your imagination. So we may find times of frustration, but it doesn't mean we still have to initiate anything. Mm-hmm. Then when we do have the right opportunity, what I usually talk about with inner reading is something called the authority, which is a decision-making mechanism, kind of like the GPS of how do I know which way to go?
Okay.
For you and 50% of the population, your authority is called the emotional authority. This comes out of your emotional center in the chakra system. And what this means is that you're built to take time to make decisions. The reason is you have a natural emotional wave that you need to ride out. 50% of the population have this, which means that they need to be very deliberate and take time to make a decision. They may feel like they know the answer in the moment, but it is best if you can wait maybe 24 hours, a few hours, just to make sure that the decision is really right for you and to reach what's called emotional clarity. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because my business partner and I, we oftentimes talk about how different we are when it does come to making certain decisions, because I always tell her, I said, I'm just going to kind of let this ruminate for a minute or a day, or, you know, and let it process a little bit. And then I think we'll have more clarity after we do that. And she's often like, let's just make this decision. And, you know, she's more quick to make a decision. And we honor each other's. We don't try to push each other to each other's sides. It's just a observation we've had about each other.
Good. That's great. And, you know, in this day and age, sometimes there's pressure to make decisions, but I always teach people to say something like, can I get back to you? Or let me sleep on it. Or I think it's a yes, but let me confirm with you later. And just give yourself that time, and especially not to be under that pressure.
Yeah.
And there's always a lot more to talk about and discuss for each of these layers. And again, it takes time to like really embody, like, how does that emotional wave feel for me? Because again, for each person, it may be different. The last thing though I'll talk about is what's called the profile. I love this because you and I have a same profile.
Oh,
the
fun.
Profile is sort of like the characters we play if our life was a movie. And ours is called the opportunist and role model. The opportunist is really somebody who loves to connect to other people and build a network. Mm-hmm. And we're probably well connected and can offer people many ways or resources to, you know, I love offering referrals and saying, oh, I know somebody who could do this. I was just this morning saying that to somebody.
Yep.
And then we also love that, you know, that connection to others. And then in the role model profile, we are here to go through three important phases in life. One, our early phase, from birth to about age 29, when we experiment and kind of go through life, sometimes, you know, with positive or negative things, or sometimes we succeed, sometimes we fail. It's all part of the journey. And then in our 30s, at about age 30 till 50, we kind of go inward a bit more and do more of our inner work. We observe others. We're on what they call the roof, watching what others are doing. And then when we hit age 50, we become the role model, which is a great way to just say, you know, people will either come to us for the experience that we've had, or we can help, you know, guide others. And so how does that resonate for you?
I think that's absolutely beautiful. And I think it's really interesting at what points in my life I did make some shifts and just some of the things I have been going through. I would say I definitely am in a more of an observatory state and a learning and a noticing. And yeah, I really love that. So thank you. Thank you for sharing that. Now, I would like to switch gears, and we may or may not have time to talk about this, but I am curious, of course, of how someone knowing their human design may relate to their eating experiences, or how they think about food, how they experience food, how they feel about food. And if you can even speak to that, that would be lovely.
Well, interesting. There is an advanced sort of study area that I'm not an expert in, but it's there's pieces in your human design that can point to maybe the way that you eat. Like, is it throughout the day, or is it, you know, three square meals, we'll call it. However, that being said, you may look into that information, but what I really feel is, again, what is to ask yourself what's right for you, to feel into your body. There are so many aspects to human design, but still the most important ones are you following your strategy and your authority? So I go back to when it comes even to food. Are you using your decision-making in the body and not the mind to help you make decisions?
I love that. I love that.
You know, are you feeling into, for you, it is the emotional center. And obviously you're not going to wait 24 hours to eat something.
Right.
But you can certainly look back and notice, how does this make me feel? And, you know, what, why did I say yes to eating something and regret it later? And can I take note of what are the things that actually do serve me and help my body? Again, when we're in this time period right now where managing energy is so important, what we do on the inside always affects the outside. So what are the things that you need to do for wellness, for food, for how you eat, for when you eat, or even what your mind is saying around that? How can you put yourself into a state of wellness so that your energy is at optimal level? And I think that really, again, is different for everybody. And we just really need, and you said this earlier about generators, I think all of us need to slow down and get more present and get rid of some of that clutter in the head, clutter on the outside, the things that distract us so that we can be more present with ourselves, more quiet, and really connect to our inner voice, our inner wisdom, and to our source. And I think there's a lot we can learn to help us with things like food and health.
Yeah, I really love kind of that reflection of that ability to tune in and to listen to the body and to be present and to kind of honor where it's at, and to really kind of be able to utilize this guidance as guideposts for nourishment. And your answer goes much, much deeper than what I had anticipated, because as we were prepping for this episode, I was thinking, do I just love to make a lot of food sometimes when people are around because I'm a generator? Like, because again, I had such a limited understanding to what human design really, really was until we started talking today. And so that's what my brain initially was wondering about the relation to food.
But yeah, yeah.
Thank you for the much deeper, richer answer. And for anybody who would love to connect with you and find out more about kind of them and, you know, their specific human design, how can they do that? What does that look like?
Thank you for asking. So I have a website. They can head there to connect with me. It's ChristyHSullivan.com. And I also have a Facebook group and community where I am pretty active there. It's called Christy's Human Design and Self-Care Community. And I'm also on Instagram as Christy H. Sullivan. And they can just reach out to me. On my Facebook page, I list things that I'm doing, like retreats or webinars, or people can just reach out to me directly if they're interested in a reading. And the book. Also, the book is also available on my website.
Grab the book. Grab the book for sure. Thank you so much for being here, Christy. And the last question that I ask all of our guests is, what does it mean to you? And maybe just one or two lines. It doesn't have to be a big in-depth answer, but just what does it mean to you to love your food, love yourself, and love your life?
I think it's the word that you just said a minute ago, which is nourishment. It's this idea of nourishing is love. And I think there's so many layers of love and what that means, and how we enjoy food, how we treat ourselves, what we experience in life that can really nourish us and our souls.
That's beautiful. Thank you so much for being on here today.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening in and being a part of the Love Your Food, Love Yourself, Love Your Life podcast. I hope you have enjoyed this episode as much as I have, and I would love nothing more than to connect with you in other ways as well. So click the link in the description to visit youressentialdietitian.com/services and discover how we may do that. Again, thank you for being here. Much love.